I ate too much, but beside that, it was delicious. You've been good host. Just a privilege to be here. Appreciate this special. We are in Africa, the dark continent. Dark because of the absence of light. That's what darkness is. And so we must get the gospel to them. Amen? Now, I have a slide that I don't have in my presentation. I want to put in there the size of Africa. Some preacher wrote to us and said, we've had a letter from this man from Nigeria. Would you drive over and meet with him? And besides having three or four civil wars between us and him, it was 5,000 miles of no roads. So, it was a little bit difficult to do that. But it's incredible the size of the continent of Africa. You can take the United States, the lower 48, and put it in Africa 3.5 times. So we're talking about a large continent. We're thankful that we can serve God there. We're excited about what God's called us to do. We're honored that He would use us. But we're enjoying it. I mean, it's what God wants for our life. And so we're excited about that. So we'll go right into the slides, and we'll talk about them and go through. Okay. We are planting churches. That's kind of what we do. Amen? My wife and I, of course, you've met us already. We are in South Africa, and we are up near the A in the city of Pretoria, located about right there is where we are. And there are 9 provinces in South Africa, 11 official languages, 53-plus million people there in South Africa, and so a lot of people to work with there. Now, let me just point out some things. This is Polokwane. It's labeled Petersburg there, but the name has changed. That's where Doug Hammond is living. About an hour from there at this place is where George Hammond is living. And then Gary Kastner would be living about right there. And Scott Kuzel is over here at about the place like that. And then my son James, if I can get it, he's going to be right here. And then Brother Norberg is right there at Bloemfontein. So we'll give you an idea of those of you that know where these places are. We are sponsored by Bible Baptist Church in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and we're thankful for a faithful pastor. And Brother Custer reached a milestone recently. He's been there longer than the original pastor, and so that's pretty exciting to us. So we're thankful for what God has and doing. So what do? We are missionaries. We're church planters. So what one thing that we do is we evangelize. That means we've got to go out there and talk to people and get the seed out of the barn. It doesn't do any good to have lots of seed in the house and not get out there and take it out there. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So if you'll go, God will give you fruit for going. He promises that. So it's something that we need to do. He says to go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. And so we've got to do that. It's our job. It's our responsibility. And, of course, we do that on the foreign field. We use a lot of literature. We try to make it a sound gospel presentation. Often it's bilingual. And then we saturate that with prayer. So have you ever heard the gospel? And we give that to them. One of the presentations we make is, what do you see? African are a little bit more visual-oriented, and so we deal with that and use that with diagrams and a lot of other things. And, of course, the first thing you should see from this diagram is all roads do not lead to heaven. You heard people say that, we're just going a different road. Well, there's only one road that leads to heaven. Most people are on the wrong road. Many excuses for being on the wrong road. There's only one right way to get on the right road. You're not saved. It's time to get on the narrow road. It's time to get to Jesus. Then we use the three-legged table approach of teaching. That is, what does it say? What is the application? And then if there's something in the Scripture that we should be learning, it should be changing our lives. It should be something that we should be doing. We baptize the converts. So we when people get saved, we lead them in discipleship and then baptize them so they can be involved in a New Testament church. Now, this is a couple of African men doing some baptizing. I'll talk about that a little bit later, but quite an ingenious baptistry here. We dug a hole in the ground and lined it with banana leaves to make it more comfortable, and then plastic and, well, anyway, You see that? Well, this one looks like a coffin. Well, the Bible says planted in the likeness of his death. Amen? Buried in the likeness of his death. So, okay, that's good. Then we disciple the converts. I mean, it's no good just to get people saved and then leave them out there. So you've got to go out and you've got to teach them and teaching them. Now, I try to develop a mental mode of I'm teaching every time I'm around somebody. And so it's you're always teaching. So it's something that you do. Of course, we have the classroom teaching as well. But what we're doing is we're looking for faithful men that are able to teach others also. And that's what we're looking for. We're out there knocking on doors. We're winning people to Christ. But we're looking for faithful men that God can call and that they are able to teach others also. So we have Liberty and Sylvia, and they have gone now to Nigeria. I worked with them since 2006 in Bible College in Gibson Park and teaching them. And they are in the city of Enugu. And that's where they located. He is actually Nigerian. He came to South Africa. He married a South African girl. God wanted him to go back there and start a church. So he's sponsored by the Majakanin Independent Bible Baptist Church. And this is his pastor there. I didn't get him before they took their suits off. This is Zebulun Rametsi, and he is a pastor, a couple of faithful men. This is Elias and Tato, I should say. And so he's sponsored by that church, and so we're excited about that because the church at Majakanin, our church started, and then this church now sponsors another man to start a church there. So carrying on that light. So we had the candlelight service where the men of that church came and lit his candle to take that light into Nigeria. And so we're thankful for what's happening there. They've bought some land and bricks and so forth and so on. They're building a building. They're having services every week now, and so they need a place to meet. And so they're in the process of doing that. We're also working with Oscar Mashumba. Oscar Mashumba is in the city of Chinoy. Harare is the capital of Zimbabwe. And we're down here, a little bit further down there, about where that chair is. Okay. And Chinoy is up there. But he's a school teacher, and so he knows how to teach others also. Became a faithful man and a good godly man that is spreading the gospel there in Zimbabwe. He feels like God wants him to start a church there. So he's there now teaching and starting Bible study. So we put it together the Creation of Christ series to give to him to go and take out there and teach and get that into the homes. And once it gets into the homes, hopefully he can follow up on that and get some people coming to church and so he's been working on that, and we're thankful for that. Then we organized the Independent Bible Baptist Church of Kampala, Uganda, in January of 2010. Kuni James, he came down to South Africa in 2002, and he got saved, and we trained him, took him back there. I've been there a dozen times, and we're excited about what God is doing there. Pray for James, however. He's contacted typhoid fever. And his health is not good right now, but you pray for him and his family as they labor there and serve the Lord in that place. This is the congregation there, and they, out of their church, have a man that feels like he wants to, God wants him to start a church. His name is Angelo Magezi, and Angelo is in a little town called Kakuto, and it's about 10 kilometers north of Tanzania. And so he's there in a village, and that's where they were baptized. That's why I wasn't doing the baptizing, is because the church there in Kampala sent this guy there to start that church. And then when he had some people to baptize, then they went and baptized them. And we were excited to be there when that happened. And he's got a congregation there. He's so excited about having some men to disciple and a church to build up for the glory of the Lord. And this is out in the country. There's no electric. There's no running water. It's farmland. You get all the bananas you can eat, of course, and some of those things. Well, we work in South Africa also, and I'd mentioned where we are. We're up there now in the E of Pretoria, right there near the capital. And so we're thankful for what God's doing there. We have planted a church in Lekakane. And I hear some places in the lower states that you couldn't meet in a building like this if you didn't have the proper exit sign above that door. I mean, if you had a fire breakout, people wouldn't know how to get out. Isn't that foolish? But anyway, we have laws in some places about that. Stephen and Emily Mofia, he's leading this work. He's also pursuing his teaching degree so he can teach. In fact, he's doing some teaching now because he's qualified to do that, but he's also preaching. And so he's taking care of that work, and he's also taking care of the work in Lake Lubili while I'm away. My son James there preaching at that service, and so you probably saw the side a little while ago. And we're also planting a church in Lake Lubili, and we've got some good folks there. Stephen is preaching there every week, but he's also assisted by Meshach, and Toboho is his wife, and she is teaching Sunday school, and this is our little girl, and so we're thankful for some faithful people there. And so we have services there, and choir, and church, and dinners on the ground, and Sunday school, and some other exciting things. And we're thankful for all the good things that God does in planting a church there. We're also working in Dam Dorain. Dam Dorain is a marketplace. It's a curio marketplace. All the Africans from north of us in Africa bring their curios down and sell them at this marketplace. And so we talked to this man, Douglas. He's from Zimbabwe. And then this is Janu. Janu is from the Democratic Republic of Congo. This is Joseph, and Joseph is from Malawi, and Pedzi, and he's from Zimbabwe. And it goes on and on, these men that we're working with there, and God's opened the door, and that's how we found Oscar and sent him back. That's how we found Cuny James and sent him back. And we're praying that God will work on some others and even send them back. Tawanda has been saved recently, and I believe God's going to work in his life and lead him to do some things. Raymond has become a good, faithful man in the church, a staple man, and he's got a good family. We're thankful for him. Harrison's been coming for a good while, and we have some confidence in him. Philemon recently got married, and so we're excited about that. And we don't know that there'll ever be a church, per se, established here because of the transient nature of the people, but yet we have services there asking God to do what God wants to do in this particular place and this particular village. Now, in the town of Brits where we live, we're having Bible studies with Peter and Eunice. They're both from Kenya. And she's actually a school teacher, and he's a salesman out at the market, and God's working in their lives, and we believe God's going to do some good things in their life. We're also working with Manassas and Gertrude. Manassas is an high school English teacher, and he's able to teach others also, and he's leading a Bible study while I'm away with his brother and his brother's wife, Adonia and Charity. And so we're excited about what's happening there. And then we're working with this man. He's been coming to our Bible college for a long time. His name is Victor, and his wife's name is Fikile and Mosia, and they are actually in Soweto. Now, that's a western part of Johannesburg. It's a large, large African town. We were in there the other day driving. We went to a service, and, you know, it was 10 hours. We didn't see another person with pale skin like us. And so, anyway, that was different for us, but we're thankful that God is working. He's coming this way in the teaching. He's beginning to put Baptist doctrine in place and teaching that to the people. He's lost people. Imagine that. I mean, when you teach Baptist doctrine, that some people wouldn't want that, and they'd leave. I can't even... Anyway, he's had some leave, so I said, well, then you may as well become a Baptist and do it the right way. They put up a tent every week, and I'm patiently waiting on him, folks. I could go and say, do this, and he'd do it, but that's not the way we do it in the Lord's work. We let the Lord lead him and convince him. That's exactly what needs to be done, and so that would be good if God did that. One of the things we miss being in Africa is, of course, our grandchildren, but God's given us lots and lots of grandchildren. Now, the one that did this collage here, it needed 7 pictures. That's why there's so many. We only have 4 and 1 on the way. But those 4 are illustrated here. Of course, you know the one down in the corner there, Gideon. And he was up here last year. And then Dominic, Chloe, and Emma Grace. But we have lots of other grandchildren as well. And these are some precious young people to us. And we're thankful for him. That guy down there in the corner, left-hand corner, he's kind of incognito there with the sunglasses on. But we're thankful for what God does. Sometimes we face some things different than you do. I mean, we have to deal with some of those things. I mean, we have to have monkey repellent. I mean, how many of you here have your cupboard stocked with monkey repellent? I mean, you know, well, there's monkeys around, okay? This is actually a baboon baby. And they're kind of cute when they're little. They grow up to be ugly. But sometimes, you know, in church work, you've got to give milk to the new babies. Amen? And, well, sometimes you face things bigger than you are. And, you need God in helping those things. Sometimes the devil gets on your back. You can't just give up and quit and go on. This is just a little house cat here. This is about 4 months old. He wanted to strap on my camera. There was no danger here. At least you can see I'm still alive anyway. But we're thankful. And pray for us. If God's will, the evangelism of the world, and you refuse to support missions, you are opposed to the will of God. That's true. So pray for us. We go back October 19th. Pray for the men that are carrying on the work faithfully while we're away. Pray for our travels. And then pray for our physical health as we continue to serve the Lord. And listen, the marks of a great church is not its seating capacity. Now, I don't know who wrote this, but I like what he said. Amen. God bless you. All right, let's take our Bible and go to Romans chapter number 1. If you have any questions about South Africa, see us after the service. See us tomorrow afternoon, whatever. Talk to us. We'd love to spend some time talking about Africa. I mean, we enjoy talking about what God's doing there and all the people that we have there. All right, Romans chapter number 1. I don't think the preacher said we could preach till it's dark, but almost. This till the sun goes down. Okay, all right. Romans chapter 1. Now, Paul is writing this to church at Rome, and Paul hasn't even been there. However, some of Paul's converts were there. And several people here Paul knew had gone there in the process of starting this church. And so it's exciting. And Paul introduces himself to that church. And he said, listen, this is what God wants with my life. In verse number 5, by whom we have received the grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name's sake. So he said, listen, God's called me that wherever I am, I can preach about the faith of Christ in every nation. And so that's my desire, is not only to reach this place, but the other places through this place. In other words, we want to keep this thing going. Everywhere we go, we're hoping that at a church that is started will not stop. You know, that they've been saved and they've been grounded in the truth, and that they'll plan to plant another church just like that in another location, that it continues going on. But then he said, verse number 8, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith. Now, I talked about my faith, and now he's saying, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, admittedly, the world wasn't as big as it is now, but communication wasn't as easy as it is now either. And so your faith can actually be spoken of throughout the whole world. I met Brother Humphrey back in 1979, and that was before we had cell phones. I think we did have the push-button phone, and not the one that... I remember having a party line, you know, you pick it up, see if anybody's talking on that, and get a dial tone before you start calling. Hope nobody else listens in on your... Anyway, you know what, all that. That was back in those, and it's changed. Lots of things have changed. But now we can get the gospel to the whole world. You know, my home church, Bible Baptist Church in Greenville, people didn't know about that church. I mean, I'd go in 78, 79, 80, and say, I'm out of Bible Baptist Church. Gordon Silcox is my pastor. Who? Where? We didn't know of any churches up there. Well, you do now, and you're going to. And lots of people know about that church now, and we're thankful, and we're praying and asking God to make that even more of a testimony. Same way with the church in Oak Harbor, and same way with the church in Lehigh Valley, and how God's opened some of those things and how he's done some things. The church there, even in Sioux Falls. I mean, God has done some things that our faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So he says, for God is my witness, verse number 9, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer, making request if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come into. I want to come. I want to be enrolled. And Paul was eventually there. But notice what he said, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Now, we're not going to get all charismatic about this thing, but victory is a gift from God. Increased faith is a gift from God. Now, I realize that God's given me a burden for South Africa, and He may not give you a burden for South Africa as such, but it's good enough that you know that I have one, and that I want to serve God there and do what God wants me to do. But the gift would be that because I have a burden for my people, and I can share that burden with you, that you would get a burden for your people, and that would be a gift from God that God would give you while we're here this week to lift you up out of lethargy and motivate you in what you're doing here for the cause of Christ. Now, that's the kind of gift he's talking about there, to the end that you may be established, that you grow and become strong in the Lord. And then notice what he said, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Mutual faith. The Bible talks about one faith. Paul, writing to Titus, said there's a common faith. When he writes, Peter writes about it, he says, like precious faith. And so we need to have that kind of faith. In the Strong's Dictionary, it uses this word, reduplicated faith. I don't even know if that's a word, but it was there, reduplicated. How can you reduplicate something? You duplicate it. And then you duplicate the duplication. So I have faith. And then you have faith. And then the one you reach has his faith. That's how the mutual faith works. And we need that mutual faith for the glory of the Lord. I looked to understand this word about mutual faith, and of course, faith of one another, and of course, sometimes it's used as each other and together, reciprocal faith, interchanged faith, each acting in return or corresponding to the other in this faith, a mutual flame of faith, in a mutual desire to reach the world. And certainly that's why we have a missions conference, is to give information about the world that we are to reach, but it's also to create some involvement in reaching that world, and then we want to enlist people in reaching the world for Christ. And so hopefully God will even work in somebody's heart and do this great thing. Now, notice with me Romans chapter 16, and I want to look at a couple of things here. Paul, writing to Rome, he started out talking about his faith and their faith, and he ends up in verse number 26, Romans 16, verse 26, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And so, if all nations need to be obedient to the faith, or some people there need to believe that faith and be obedient to that faith, then listen, we need to get that message to them so they can be obedient to that faith. Go back with me to Romans chapter 12, and we want to look at some things here about this faith, but before we do that, I want you to see something that everybody's faith is not always the same. Verse number 3, Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt with to every man the measure of faith. Now, when it came to Christ, he said, he had faith without measure. And you and I, we have a measure of faith. and our faith can grow. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Often we talk about George Mueller and how he did the things that he did by faith. And often we talk about how great a faith that he had. But we, until I read some of his information that he wrote himself, I didn't realize that he was reading his Bible from cover to cover about every month. And when I realized that, I said, wow, that's where that faith came from. I mean, he's getting into his Bible. He's getting into the Word of God. Now, I realize he's not a Baptist like we are, but listen, that would help us so much to get into our Bible and let faith that comes from the Word of God just permeate our soul and fill our soul and let that faith grow. So, back to Romans chapter number 3. And I want you to see the kind of faith that Paul talks about. And we're going to look here in the book of Romans for this faith. And first of all, it's the faith that saves. And in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 25, we're just going to touch on these because time would prohibit going into any detail on them. But notice verse 25, whom God has set forth, talking about Jesus Christ, is set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. So it's faith in the blood of Christ to declare His righteousness for the remission that are, of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So, listen, salvation is in Jesus Christ, and it cannot happen without faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. I like that. Verse number 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's people going around and they don't have the assurance in their soul that they need. And they have a lack of peace. Well, if you're one of those Christians, quote Christians, that are like that, and you don't have peace in your heart about the issue of salvation, then there's something wrong with your faith. You need to look at that. I went forward in a church service when I was, 11, 12 years old in West Virginia. I mean, there was a revival service, and I don't remember a whole lot that was being preached, but I felt compelled to go forward, and I went forward, and nobody talked to me. Nobody did anything. And that is the first time that I remember actually being serious about this thing. But nothing happened because I had no man to help me. But I thought that's what you did. You walked down an aisle, that saved you. You prayed a prayer, that saved you. No, an aisle can't save anybody. A prayer can't save anybody. Jesus is the Savior. He's the one that you trust. And He's the one that you put your faith in. And so I went some years in that condition and thinking that, hey, I was okay with God. But if I'd have died in that condition, I'd have gone to hell. But when I came to North Dakota and got into a church and heard the preaching of the gospel and saw what real salvation was all about in people's lives, God took me back to that time. 27 people came forward that night that I came forward. And I look back and I can tell you honestly, I do not know of one of them that even attends church. Several of them that I remember, prison, jail, whatever. And that's not the kind of salvation God gives. When God saves a man, He changes his heart. He changes his life. He's going to go a new direction. Otherwise, it's not repentance. Well, God spoke to my heart then in Grand Forks. Convicted me, showed me why I was lost. Not just because I was a sinner, but because nothing happened that day. I responded. Whew, that's exciting. I mean, I'm still thrilled about that. Years later, the most important thing, most exciting thing that's happened in my life is that. And I'm thankful for it. So the first thing is saving faith. But notice over in Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So faith is to be spread. Faith to faith to faith. And so I'm to spread it in my life, to every part of my life, but I'm even to share that with others, hoping that my faith will encourage others in what they do for Christ. In fact, hearing about these brothers that's been persecuted, yes, I'm concerned for their safety, but I would be excited to hear that they took this opportunity to stand stronger and to be faithful. I remember Brother Holland talking about over in New Guinea that they would go out and they'd preach on the streets there. And, well, they use that term, streets, loosely, okay? But they'd go and they'd preach at certain places. And the people that were there, some of them would be angry with them and come out and they'd shout at them while they're preaching. And as they'd shout at them, I mean, there would be persecution right there on the spot for that. And they'd keep on preaching. And Brother Holland was next to this guy, and this guy used to be a warlord. And a leader of those that would kill others, and his son was next to him, and he didn't have a loud voice, so he asked Brother Holland to preach, and Brother Holland was preaching, and somebody come up to the son over here and hit him, and blood began to come from his nose and stuff like that. Now, there's rules in this kind of thing. You can't bring blood. That was a bad thing to do that. And so Brother Holland grabbed a hold here a little bit longer because he said, hey, it's his son. And he said, before anything could happen, the boy jumped up off the ground and said, praise God, I get to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. Could we do that? That's exciting. That's faith unto faith. It's to be spread. It's to be given to others. Romans chapter number 10, we have to have the faith that sins. In Romans chapter 10, verse number 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And those are very important things, important steps that are there. And then how shall they preach except they be sent? Paul said, I need mutual faith, your faith, and my faith to be able to go to the regions beyond. So we need to be involved in the sending of the Word of God to the uttermost part of the earth. It's our job. And at the same time, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth. And this is probably the furthest away we've ever been from South Africa. I mean, if that's the uttermost part of the earth, this is next to it on the other side, okay? But we go to these places. Go with me to Romans chapter number 15. Romans 15. We need faith that serves. I read somebody crying in one of the on the computer the other day. I've been serving. I've been serving everybody. And nobody's concerned. Well, wait a minute. Whoa. That's not the kind of service we need. A crybaby. Yeah. We might be discouraged and go to God, but why should I be crying to people? Now notice what the Bible says. I gave her this verse. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. It doesn't say you go out there and do this until somebody comes and does it for you. It's not to be that way. I'm to keep on bearing the infirmities of the weak as long as I have some strength to do so. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. So I'm to build up. I'm not to pull down. I was talking to one of the young girls about crabs. You know, down by the ocean, you crabs, you get a bucket, and you dig those up, and you put them in the bucket. Now, if you only have a couple of them, then you just kind of, you have to have a lid on that bucket. They'll get out. They'll climb out. But you put four or five in there, you don't even have to put the top on anymore. They're called crabs for a reason. It's why we call people that are angry and crabby crabs. Okay, I mean, you know. You know, every time one of these crabs try to climb up out of that bucket, another one will reach up and grab him and pull him right back down.
And we're the kind of that way. We keep pulling people down instead of building them up. Shouldn't be that way. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. Aren't you thankful? He didn't please himself. He went to that old rugged cross. Not for himself, but for you. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproacheth thee fell on thee. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. I have hope that God will use me when I'm serving Him, and I'm serving Him by faith. Let's go back to Romans chapter 4. And we find that the faith that Paul was talking about was like the faith of Abraham. And I tell you what, I'd like to have the faith of Abraham. I mean, when we talk about faith and the faith that Abraham had, now you have to understand Abraham was pretty much out there by himself as far as a man of faith. He had Lot. I mean, isn't that comforting? He had Lot to encourage him in his faith. Well, okay. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope, which he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be, and being not weak in faith. Folks, that's where we need to be, not weak in faith. It seems like a theme in God's put in my heart for the last couple of weeks or months is that we need to expect God to do things worthy of who God is. I mean, you know, bless God, I took a tissue and wiped my nose. Praise God, I'm healed now. You know, just wiped your nose. Now He heals us. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this. We expect so little. And we get so little. And we wonder why. It's because our expectation is not according to the promises of God. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I believe that, and that's why I go. I like to go fishing. And next week I'm going to be in Florida, and my nephew is going to take me fishing. But I'll go out there because I just feel like there's three or four nice big bass that's wanting to commit suicide and figure that line is the only way out. So I'm going. I can just feel that in my bones. But I expect something to happen. And, you know, when we're sowing the seed, when we're talking to people, we should expect something to happen. God should be dealing with somebody's heart. God should be moving in their heart. And listen, you never know. You never know what that's going to be. I got saved on Sunday night. On Monday, my friend came that I'd gone to tech school with, and his marriage had fallen apart. And he was a good friend by that time. And I said, Joe, if Christ were the center of your marriage, it wouldn't fall apart that quick. He'd only got married in September. Here's January. We went on and visited and ate, and on the way back, from lunch, going back to work in the Air Force, he said, what did you mean? I said, I don't have any idea what I meant, but the God that saved me can do anything, and I believe He can put this back together. But I've got a pastor now who can be coming to see Pastor Silcox, and God was working in his life. I didn't know what I'd said. You know, that's a powerful statement, you know, but okay, God can do anything. And I believe that. Well, I'd learned a little bit more about soul winning now. You know, you're supposed to ask people the question, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? Somehow to get this door open. And so, about a month, and so we sit down to lunch, and I said, before we start eating, Joe, I've got a question. If you were to die today, where would you go? He said, I'd go to heaven. I said, tell me about it. He said, last Sunday night after church, went back to my room, God wouldn't leave me alone. I got on my knees. I repented. I trusted him, and he saved my soul. Praise God. But you messed up my witnessing. And I said that to him. I mean, I was ready to do something here. But, you know, right away God told me that, hey, I'm the one that's working here, not you. And that's faith. Now listen, notice what he says. Verse, who against hope believed in hope that he might be the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. Do you have something spoken to you? Do you have a word of God? Has he put it in our hands? You know, the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Now, in my English, that means that if you'll go and teach all nations, there will be an implied promise, somebody to baptize. I don't want to go over there and waste time in Africa. I want to see some people saved. I want to baptize them. I want to teach them. I want to train them. I want to see them go out. We have a family conference between Christmas and New Year's every year. We'll take 3 days there between that time because nobody's going to work or anything, and the couples can come to that, and we have the couples seminar. But listen, that could go on without me now. I mean, the first couple of them, I preached a whole thing, you know, 3 days of you know, 5-6 hours every day. But now it could happen just without me, and I'm so excited about that. They could carry on just fine. Verse 19, and be not weak in faith. Now, I want you to see this next part. He considered not his own body now dead. In other words, there's things that faith doesn't consider. He considers God, but he doesn't consider the frailty or our size. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's... I mean, these were things that were tremendous things in the way of God doing what God had promised as far as man would be. But Abraham says, I don't care about those. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that he that had what he had promised, he was able to perform. God can do these things. That's what faith says. And I need to have that mutual faith. I need to have faith, and you need to have faith that way. Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter 11. So we have faith that saves. We have faith that spreads. We have faith that sins. We have faith that serves. We have faith that's strong. And then we have faith that stands. Verse number 20. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. We stand by faith. I mean, there's nothing special about George Wyatt. In fact, you know, if God can use me, he can use anybody. And I used a donkey once, so, hey, I just hope. It's by faith. Keep standing. Others are moving, so we can keep standing. Then one last thought, Romans chapter 14. Notice verse 23. Mutual faith, your faith, my faith. It works together to get the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. Romans chapter 14, verse number 23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he doth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith, is sin. So God's told us the Christian life is built on and around and through and appropriated by, and the access to grace is by faith. Listen, you can't have, but the kind of faith you have is, we're not inanimate objects. We are people. God's given us the right where I can be a part of a church that's spoken of for their faith. You have an advantage on some churches. You have somebody over there in the Middle East already planting churches. Center of the universe as far as God's concerned, right there in Israel. I mean, you know, your faith is spoken of through here. Where else can it go? It has to go out from there. Father, thank you for the faith that has been exhibited here already in bringing us and having this conference and bringing the other preachers. Father, doing what you've done in preparing us for this week. But Father, this is just a stepping stone of faith being going forward to more faith. For the Father, help it to be strong. Help it to be ascending faith. Help it to be a stable faith, unmovable faith, an unshakable faith in the Lord of glory that keeps his word in all and every situation. Bless this church. Bless the service to follow.